This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh.
Big show on a Kim and Lavoie Judgment Day here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, former Badger Packer running back, myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch with you till 6 o'clock. And be safe out there, folks. If you're a snowplow driver, thank you. We appreciate you tonight, today, and apparently for the rest of the week, is because winter, the apocalypse is coming, apparently, because now it's going to white out for the rest of the day, and you just stay shackled up and listen to Wendy's Big Show. I think that's the best way you could get away from this, and the fear of the unknown you don't even have to worry about. You just hang out, listen to us, call us at 414-799-1250. If you don't have a cell phone, don't have a home phone, email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. It's the Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen inbox. If you only have Twitter, and that's the only way that you can get a hold of us, a lot of people love to do it. It's at 1057fmthefan, and the notifications will be flowing when we ask you right now, what team do you fear most in the Eastern Conference as a Milwaukee Bucks fan? 414-799-1250. The Milwaukee Bucks cleanly top the Eastern Conference, cleanly atop the NBA as a whole, but seemingly, Sparky, for the last 4 or 5 months, every question has been looking at another team, looking at Boston. When are they going to wake up? Well, Kawhi Leonard's out in Toronto, so they're obviously a better team. And Philadelphia 76ers, they got Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Jimmy Butler. Now they have Tobias Harris. So now, obviously, they're the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, all except for the Milwaukee Bucks, who are at the top of the East. So who scares you the most in this conference?
Yeah, you know, I've been saying Boston the whole time. I am still concerned about that. Now, I realize they got chemistry problems, and they've got issues in that locker room. Whether or not they can get straightened out, whether or not Brad Stevens can fix those issues between now and the end of the season, I don't know. They got 2 months to essentially figure it out. I mean, they're a playoff team, so it's not like chemistry issues are going to keep them from being in the playoffs, but chemistry issues very well can keep them from being as good as they can be. And even with all the chemistry issues that they have, they've been playing pretty good lately if you've been following along with the Boston Celtics. It's not like they've been playing bad basketball. So from that perspective, I think Boston is concerning still. But man, oh man, watch Philly over the weekend. Again, it's the Lakers, right? So take that for what it's worth. But that starting five is good. I mean, it is good. And you know they're going to continue to add to their bench because that's what they have to do. They add Simmons from Orlando to their bench to come in and help out that bench. So they're going to continue to add there. And then Toronto, with what they have, they've already added two guards to their bench, two backup guards. Jeremy Lin and McLemore, it looks like, are going to be Toronto Raptors. So they've got a backup one and a two that were starters on other teams. So they continue to improve their depth. I think it's a very difficult question. And it's my question. I was the one that pitched it, in all fairness. Marc Gasol in Toronto. I think it's Toronto now. I've gone away from Boston. Just because the chemistry issues concern me, even though they're winning in the regular season, I think in the postseason, that's going to hurt them. It very well could hurt them and cost them in the postseason. Now, if they get strained out in the next 2 months and they become that machine like everybody was expecting them to be all year, okay, well, then we can revisit this in a month or so and have the same conversation again, because I think who scares you in the East probably will be an ongoing debate amongst Bucks fans of, you know, who worries you. Now, this doesn't mean they're going to lose to this team, to clarify the question. Just seven-game series, who do you think, you know, probably has the best chance of maybe knocking them off in a seven-game series at this point? And I think the Raptors, because of their depth right now and adding Gasol and adding those guys coming off of the bench for themselves, they got playoff experience, those guys. I think it's the Toronto Raptors at this point. The one thing you have going for you, Nick Nurse has never been a head coach in the playoffs. He's been on the bench, assistant coach, but he's never got to run his own show. He's never had to make the adjustments himself. He's never had to be held responsible in post-game press conferences in the postseason. There's a lot that goes with that. It's a lot of different pressures. It's a lot of different stuff that goes along with it. And then how you react to all of that as you go from game to game to game to game when you have to be the front man. If it didn't work before, well, it's Dwayne Casey's butt. It's not my butt. I'm sitting over here. I don't got to answer the questions after the game. Now, if you make a coaching adjustment and it doesn't work, now you got to answer the questions. Similar to McVay and Ty Gurley with the Rams, right? He don't play Gurley. You got to answer the questions now, McVay. When he wasn't the head coach and something didn't go right, it's not my deal. Head coach can answer it. Well, now you got to be the guy to answer it. So that's a little bit concerning, I guess, for Toronto as far as how Nurse does in the playoffs. But I guess it's the Toronto Raptors, but Philly and Boston. Mm. Tobias Harris with those four guys, they look pretty good, folks.
Sitting,
who did you say?
Toronto.
Sitting in first place is I feel like the most nerve-wracking position as a fan, because all you're waiting for is something to go wrong for you to stumble back.
It's new for us.
Because you continually are looking backwards.
Totally. Totally.
But the last 2 years, the Brewers were in the same boat.
True.
And all year long, you're looking at the Cubs, you're looking at the Cardinals, you're looking at other teams that are going to be able to catch you and where you could slip up to allow it. First place Bucks, who scares you the most, Gary Ellison?
Well, you know, for strange that you say that, because I really don't feel – I think the Bucks are the best team in the East, okay? And the question is fear. I mean, that's a different question. But I think – for me, I think it's 76ers. I think the 76ers, out of all these teams in the East, has an opportunity to beat the Milwaukee Bucks if they face them in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they match up well. I just think they have, to me, no answer, the Bucks, for Joel Embiid. I saw Joel Embiid the other day, and I think he's only going to get better in the playoffs. And someone has said this before, and I have been denying this. I saw Joel Embiid do a dream shake fadeaway almost at the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
I went, oh my God.
Dude's legit, man.
You also saw him cross up somebody at midcourt and go coast to coast.
That
like
was,
he looked like
Bucks,
Giannis.
Yes, that was another one.
The Bucks got no answer for that.
Giannis.
None.
It's going to have to be Giannis.
Yeah, and then Giannis can't do that. Giannis can't handle him. He'll foul Giannis out.
Giannis get him in foul trouble as well? It's going to be a great battle between those two guys.
He could. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it works both ways. But I just think if they're going to try to put Giannis on Embiid, I think that's just too – it's probably too much for either guy, because they're going to spend so much energy that you're not going to get the points out of them that you need to, you know, on the offensive end. I think you every once in a while you throw them in there. But I just don't want Giannis even dealing with them. If we got six fouls to give, let's find six guys to go over there with Embiid.
And it's difficult because Giannis would either go up against Embiid or go up against Simmons. Either way, it's going to be – length against length.
Yes. So for me, I would say Philadelphia. There's a lot with Philadelphia, right? Like if they're all collectively together mentally, if Jimmy Butler has bought in to Tobias Harris, right? I mean, are they sharing the ball? You know, are they, you know, the Ben Simmons can't shoot anyway, so we ain't got to worry about him really taking a shot. It's really about Jimmy Butler letting Tobias Harris be Tobias Harris, and then Joel Embiid not getting his lip off. You know, because I think that's that team, to me, if right, can beat a Golden State. I don't think we got enough to beat Golden State. But that team there, Philadelphia, if right, can beat Golden State.
Now, if right, does that mean with more playoff experience? Because to Steve's point about Nick Nurse, Brent Brown hasn't won anything in the playoffs. What, you won one series?
No, but he's been there.
Sure.
Yeah. He's been there as the head guy, at least. He's got that.
He's been in the seat.
Dude, and, you know, we did a topic last night talking about, you know, and we may get to it a little bit later here in the hour, as far as with the Bucks' success, who are you most happy for, right? Friend, family member, the announcers, whoever, right? Dude, how are you not pretty stoked for Brett Brown right now? all the crap he went through in Philly, all those garbage teams, still getting him to play hard no matter what. Mm-hmm. And now fast forward, he gets through all of it. Now he looks at his starting five and goes, boy, oh boy, we've come a long way from what I used to run out there night in and night out. And to your point about the Warriors, Daniel tweets out 105.7 FM, the fan has to be the 76ers, no one else. 76ers are a mini Warriors team.
Yeah.
Bucks in seven, though.
Well, I don't know if they have the shooting to be with that Warriors. I get Tobias Harris can fire.
Yeah, they do.
Jimmy Butler doesn't scare me that much from three-point land Redick. Inside of 15,
Redick,
20.
Off the bench, yes.
J.J. Redick.
That server just came off and hit some threes the other day, I think.
Cool. I don't like J.J. Redick.
I mean, I don't like him either.
I don't like him either. I don't mean as a person, I just mean as a player.
Right now, they have, outside of an attitude adjustment or everything that you need, they got what it takes to win it all.
And they've got what it takes to D up Giannis, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. They have the physical guard that can harass him on a double team.
They got two bodies to throw at him. Need be. Ben Simmons. I mean, Ben again in trouble. But Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. But so how you play him is you let Ben up front, and if he gets by him, Embiid is the guy that cleans it up. And that's what they did to him in Toronto.
Well, I mean, tonight, you've got Boston and Philly tonight on TNT at 7
o'clock. Now, let me just say something about Boston, because I didn't. Boston, to me, is an enigma. I just don't know what to think. Listen, we gave, and rightly so, what's the head coach's name? I call him Red Auerbach Jr.
Brad Stevens.
A lot of credit last year, rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those things where the great coaches were able to figure out, like Phil Jackson.
Being a psychologist.
Was able to, because that's what he's got to do now. Phil Jackson was able to figure all that Michael Jordan stuff out, all the Kobe and Shaq. I mean, that's what had kind of separated him from other. He was able to coexist. I mean, I think there was a story. I mean, Steve, maybe you told me the story. I think I heard this story once that the guys just get so upset with Dennis Rodman, because he was always late to come to the bus. Just late, tardy. Sometimes they'd be an hour late waiting on Rodman.
Sounds like the Green Bay Packers in 2018.
You know what Phil Jackson did? He wouldn't get on the bus until Dennis Rodman got on the bus. So he was always the last guy. So he was late. It's just like that mind thing. You know, and the guys knew what he was doing. I mean, but it's what. So it's up to him if he can try to figure out. He may be over his head with Kyrie. I don't know if he can handle Kyrie. And so, then again, that's the Boston Celtics undoing. And then now they had all these guys who had a lot of success last year that are not having success like they had last year when Kyrie was hurt.
And when you have Danny Ainge basically handling a real-life fantasy basketball team playing in the NBA and continuing to try to match pieces up like that, they don't have the ability to build chemistry like that. But the Toronto Raptors have had the chemistry outside of Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan, who's been shipped out. Now Valanciunas has been shipped out. But the core of the dudes that were big time for them in last year's playoffs and the year before.
It's changed, baby Talisman.
They still
you
have.
You just said it. DeMar DeRozan is gone. He was Lowry's best guy on that team. Lowry isn't the same player that he was. Van Vliet, I think, should be starting over Lowry. I know that sounds stupid, but he's a much better shooter than Lowry.
Once he gets
at this
back,
point.
He will be so getting a lot of those minutes.
You've
for sure.
got Van Vliet. I think he is a big, big deal, and I want to see what Nurse does there in the postseason. If he's shooting the ball when Lowry's not, is he going to have the stones to keep Lowry on the bench and ride Van Vliet out at the end of basketball games, or is he going to go back to the guy you're paying all the money, Kyle Lowry, and play him at the end of the games despite what he should be doing at that point? And Marc Gasol and that Raptors lineup is a big darn deal. I hate to break it to you.
Legitimately.
It's a big deal. And you start talking over there, Gary, about what are the Bucks going to do against Embiid. Toronto went and got them somebody.
Exactly.
And Marc Gasol to go bang with Embiid, to deal with Embiid. And that is going to be a fun matchup to watch with those two bigs. But then you look at Boston. Al Horford? Come on. I mean, what's Al Horford going to do against Embiid?
Marc Gasol, to me, is just flat-footed.
Very. Totally agree. Yeah, 100%. But he's going to be able to be physical with Embiid.
Right. So if Embiid want to go out and do the dream shake, Gasol got nothing for
that. Nope, nothing.
Then that's going to be switched to Serge Ibaka, though.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But like you do with Giannis, you got to have somebody on the back end that's going to cover that up. Because you know when he goes outside what's going to be. He's going to put it on the floor, and Gasol got nothing for that.
Man, that is going to be a fun series if the Bucks and Raptors get matched up in that Eastern Conference Finals, though.
All of them are.
Oh.
Bucks, Boston, Toronto, 76ers.
But who scares you most? 414-799-1250. Gary Ellerson and Sparky both saying the 76ers? Or no, you're sticking with Toronto.
Toronto, yeah.
I like it. I'm right in the mix. I still don't like Kyrie Irving. If Kyrie Irving is in here, I still remember him hitting a shot in Golden State, winning a finals for LeBron James after he gets the trail block. Kyrie Irving, still one of the best closers in basketball. Boston and Philly play tonight. Bucks back on the floor tomorrow when they take on the team that's right in the middle of all of this that we haven't even mentioned. We'll talk about them next here on The Fan.
They tried to get us with a spoiler alert today. And, you know, we couldn't let it happen, especially, you know, going into the break. You know, these are some crucial games. Even though, you know, our record is what it is, these are some crucial games we should win.
Bucks point guard Eric Bledsoe, one of these big shows, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Baby Talish with you till 6 o'clock. Asking who in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference, fears you the most if you're the first place Bucks. At 414-799-1250. We didn't talk about one team, Sparky.
Yeah.
Who the Bucks play next? Indiana Pacers.
Pacers in Indiana tomorrow before last game before the All-Star break. They're rolling, playing really good basketball as of late. Since the Oladipo injury when we all said they're done.
Mm-hmm.
They pick up Wes Matthews. He was like 2-for-10, 2-for-12 last night. Didn't play well for the Pacers. But they just continue to win basketball games. And as long as they continue to win and play the right way under Nate McMillan, then they're obviously going to be a team that you're going to have to deal with at some point. I just don't think they have enough offensive firepower to stay with the Bucks. I don't think they have enough firepower to stay with Boston or with Toronto or with Philly. I just don't think they have enough offense. Defensively, they're going to bring it defensively, and they're going to try and make it a low-scoring game and make it so they can stay with you throughout, you know, through their really good defense. Now, we'll see how that plays in the playoffs. I just don't think they have enough to be a threat to the Bucks in the playoffs.
Now they can, but they can muddy up the game, like you said,
no doubt.
And they've done it against the Bucks before. And they, in Baker's Life Fieldhouse, is that what they are calling Old Canseco nowadays?
I call it Canseco.
Earlier on in the year, I think it was second or third week of the year, they had one of the best defensive games against Giannis that we've seen all year long when they were taking away that drive from the top of the key. I mean,
perfect example of this last night. Kemba Walker for the Hornets last night scored 34. Jeremy Lamb had 21. The Hornets only scored 90 points. Pacers only scored 99. In today's NBA, not to crack 100 is a low-scoring game. And to do that against the Hornets, and again, in Indiana, right, that's a big deal. They're 38-19. They're 22-7 at home. So this is not a team necessarily to be taken lightly at this point either. But again, I mean, if you look at their lineup, Young, Bogdanovich, Turner, Collison, Matthews. I just don't think they have enough offense. Off the bench, Tyreke Evans, Corey Joseph, Doug McDermott, Sabonis, 21 minutes. I don't know. I don't think they have enough offense to beat the Bucks in a seven-game series, I guess is where I'm at.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think they play this generation style of NBA. Nate McMillan now playing in the 1998 season.
Well, he just doesn't have it.
It would have been a lot different situation.
But if they had Oladipo, then that would be the one-star player that you could point to. I mean, they're coming into this game against the Bucks tomorrow night on a six-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
They won at the Heat, at the Pelicans, home against the Lakers, home against the Clippers, home against the Cavs, home against the Hornets. And now here come the Bucks trying to stop a six-game winning streak. And it's going to be in Indiana. We'll see how they do.
And they gave that Laker team one of the worst beatdowns in Laker history. I think it was like a 43-point drumming they had there.
136-94.
Latrell downtown, you're first up on the Fan. What's up, Latrell?
What's up, guys? I think you hit it on the head a little bit. I think GE or Sparky said it. I think it's a bust, though. I know you guys didn't say that, but I think we just be in our own way. Because like how we did last night, we could have destroyed them boys, but I think Boozum is Leap in there.
No, he's gone for the rest. He's off the rest of the week.
All right, but you know how you say his coach name, Boozum. However you say, but I think Boozenholzer got to do a little better with cash money. He just got to get him in better spot, and I think we'll be great. I just think we'll be in our own way. because if you look at it, we haven't lost to any team in the East more than once. And I just think if we can just ball and scrape the floor like how we doing, and y'all keep on talking about these pieces that everybody else got, we got a nice piece that's sitting on the bench getting healthy right now. And if he can spread the floor like how we want him to spread the floor, we are dangerous. I'm talking about dangerous because we can bring Embiid out. We can bring Marcus Gasol out. They can't stay in the lane if you got shooters hitting threes. I'm sorry. They can't. Embiid can't hit threes like that, and Marcus Gasol can't hit threes like that. So at that point, it's a fight right there. They're going to have to come out, and we're going to have to trust in. But as long as we got bodies to throw at Embiid, and Marcus Gasol, I think we'll be great. I just think we'll be in our own way. I don't know what y'all got to say about that.
I'll tell you this. In our own way. All right, thanks for the call. Brook Lopez has to be on in the playoffs. The last couple of games, Brook Lopez has not been on from deep. He's had a couple of off-shooting nights.
Mm-hmm. Missed like seven straight late last
night. So what has to happen is when you get in the playoffs against these guys, if you're going to bring Embiid out, if you're going to bring Gasol out or Horford out to come cover Brook Lopez, he's got to be hitting these shots. He just does. And if he gets into a seven-game series and he goes cold from deep, that really changes how effective the Bucks can be if you don't have to respect Brook Lopez shooting that basketball. But when Brook Lopez gets in games and he hits first two or three threes and he's doing his little thing with his hand as he's coming down court and feeling it, then that Bucks team, you know, you play at a different level with that Bucks team when he's making threes.
Excuse me. And I get that. And to me, that's the old Bucks before Mirotić. I think.
But yeah, we haven't seen him with Mirotić.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he's right, that we saw, I think Mirotić alleviates some of that pressure. And I know we're not doing the X. We used to do the wild card guy.
The X factor. Yep.
It's Middleton. Middleton is the X factor.
Because you know what you've been
because
getting.
If you're looking to give him $38 million, sure. 35 or whatever you're looking to give him, that's what he's got to look like. Because we know we're not giving Lopez that type money. We're not giving Bledsoe that type money. We're not giving Brogdon that. We're not even thinking about getting anybody else on this team other than Giannis that type money but Middleton. To me, Middleton is the guy in this play. I'm looking at the television like it's on. In the playoffs that has to be 1A, 1B, he's got to step up his game, man.
Man, I can't.
He's just got to.
Maybe I'm stupid on this
one. And maybe
he
can't. I don't know. Maybe he can't. Maybe you say he's not going to. And maybe he can't. But if he's looking to get the max contract, that's the guy that's got to show you that this is what I'm worth. And if I'm not, and here's the deal. If I'm not worth 38, then maybe I'm worth 30. And that's still a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Over double what he's making right now.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To me, there's degrees in that, but I think a lot of these guys, there's only so much room that they can go. To me, Middleton is the guy that should have, I don't want to say higher ceiling, because I think you're going to see Giannis probably take another step. But Middleton in playoffs, he can't disappear.
But what if he's Middleton of last year's playoffs?
Sure, that's great.
Is that good enough?
Yeah, I think going into this, Bledsoe and Brogdon are going to be huge factors for this basketball
team.
Sure,
they are.
You look at last night's game, they combined for 36 points. Mm-hmm. They do that consistently in the playoffs, mm-hmm. It negates really how great Middleton really has to be. Ersan gets a dozen off the bench last night. That helps negate how great Middleton has to be. If Middleton is averaging 25, 26 in the playoffs, yeah, they're going to be very tough to beat.
It's a wrap.
Yep.
Do we still have any Ersan Ilyasova haters out there?
Why would you have after Ersan last? Ilyasova?
Wow, there were some growing.
Well, he hasn't been playing well, but Ersan's Ersan. Take a couple charges, dude. I don't know what y'all expected.
Did you see my tweet earlier today?
Was that Larry?
Some dude tried taking a charge at
Larry Harris.
Game.
That's Larry Harris guy, isn't it? Ersan?
Yes.
Is that Larry Harris guy?
Way back in the day.
He drafted him over Monte Ellis in the second round.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And then he was over in Turkey for a little while, and then came back and played for the Bucks again and so forth. Yeah, always seems to find his way back to Milwaukee. And that's where he met his wife is here.
In Tulsa, it's Mike. Mike, you're on the Fan. What's up?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
I just want to get you guys' take on this when we're talking about the three. Me, I'm the most nervous now by Tobias Harris being the fourth star in the 76ers in the playoffs.
Agreed.
And here's the reason why. I just think Kawhi and Kyrie, it's just weird to me right now. I think they're in the playoffs, they don't want to go to the Eastern Conference Finals and the finals and have to answer those questions about, oh, now, you know, we proved we can make it here without you guys or with you guys, so you got to stay. We can't leave. I just don't think the chemistry's right in Toronto and Boston right now, and I think both those teams are going to have to reconfigure after this season. Whereas the Sixers, if they're going to pay the luxury tax, they're going to stay together. So those guys going to the playoffs, knowing they can stay together, everybody's going to get close to their money. I think they're just playing with a different, less pressure. Whereas I don't like the vibes out of Toronto and Boston right now. Plus, it doesn't even matter to me because Sparky says I can't go to the games anymore anyway.
You're done.
So
yeah. It's okay though. You could still watch on TV. I appreciate it.
You guys want
to is he in, yeah, can you guys add some context?
I said the other night on the post-game show after they lost to Orlando,
okay,
they've got five losses at home. Mm-hmm. If you've seen multiple losses at home, you're done. That's it. If this team, you're done. You clearly you're a problem. And I don't want to deal with this. They've only got five losses.
Okay.
So if you've seen two or three, you're the problem.
Okay.
You can stay home. Now, this dude here that we just talked
Mike,
to,
Mike.
He's
still here.
He got corporate tickets and everything else, so he can find people to go. Now, he's going to go to one more. He's got one more to go at the end of March, and I told him if it involves seating and they have a chance to fall out of the one seat or something, he can find somebody else to go.
Yeah, Mike, I'll take those. Just email them over to the radio station.
They're not corporate. I pay for them. I just happen to have clients I can share with them.
Well, there you go. So you are the corporate.
I already invited Sparky to the game on the 28th.
He did, yes.
But he doesn't want to go.
Very nice of you. Either way, though, thanks for listening to me. I appreciate it.
Have a good
day. Thanks. Sparky's got stuff going on.
Yeah, man. They get in the playoffs.
You're banning people from Pfizer?
Hey, man.
Well, I mean,
you're
getting
a seven-game series. You two losses by you showing up to a game.
You got
to
go.
No.
Yeah.
This is different if you go to a bad Brewers team and they've got like 50 losses or whatever. That's different, right?
Yeah. You're nice, dude.
Man.
I'm riding with
you. So you're handing out the little red cards that they're giving out at the Bucks games?
They should put pictures of people up on the walls.
Yeah.
This person has three losses. If you see them, please escort them out of the arena.
Right.
Did you guys hear Chuck Freeman got one of those cards?
Yeah, the white card or whatever.
Yeah, they hand out red cards when you're being a problem at the game. KJ's in West Dallas. KJ might get a red card. What's up, KJ?
What's going on, man? Yeah, I heard you the other night on the post-game show say that, Sparky. That's pretty funny to that guy that he can't go to any more games.
But he's listening, I think, so that's good.
Yeah,
you didn't hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he understands. He doesn't want to be the reason they lose in the playoffs.
He wants him to win.
He called into our
show. We all want him to win, don't we? Aren't we all in this for the same thing?
Yes, we
are. Okay, good.
All right, send it, KJ.
Yeah, so look, man, I don't really fear anybody in the East, but I think that Philly had the most impactful trade deadline with Elden Brand as a GM, bringing in Tobias Harris. They probably have the most complete roster right now. They've got scorers, they've got shooters. J.J. Redick is having the best statistical season of his career. You know, if they get Simmons to figure it out, and, you know, you got Jimmy Butler, who's all pro defensive, and if he starts scoring, you know, they could be a problem in the playoffs. Toronto never has really figured it out in the playoffs past the first round, and they have a hard time getting through the first round. Boston, I just don't think, has the chemistry this year, especially with Kyrie being hurt. Hayward's not really come back fully, you know, so I'm not really worried about Boston too much. Indiana, you know, the defense, like you said, Sparky, they don't really have enough offense without Oladipo right now. So Philly would be the team. And I don't know if you guys watched a game the other day against the Lakers.
Yep.
Embiid is hitting three-pointers now.
Well, he has been for a couple of years.
The guy can shoot. And he could take it inside, outside. He's a complete player, man. The dude is dangerous. And he's getting even more dangerous as time goes on throughout the season. So that's a team I would really have to keep an eye on. Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks. Sure, no appreciate problem. It. If you look at the standings right now as they sit in the Eastern Conference, the Bucks are in first by one game over the Toronto Raptors. They have a 750 winning percentage. And they're only up one game in the Eastern Conference over the Raptors. The Indiana Pacers then 4.5 back as the 3 seed. If this holds, Philly is the 4, Boston is the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Philly, Boston in the first round? Oh, my goodness gracious. And as of right now, if it were to hold, Bucks would get the Pistons. The Hornets would get the Raptors. The Pacers would get the Nets. So
Thon Maker would love that.
First round win for sure.
Thon Maker last night?
Yeah.
You guys tooth busted. But if you look at the outside looking in, the Heat is one game out of the last spot in the East. Orlando's only two games out of the last spot in the East. John Ammon's crew. And then the Wizards with Bradley Beal losing his mind right now in Washington is three games back of the Pistons for the final spot in the East. So the bottom of the East is wide open. But if it's Boston, Philly, 4-5, oh, buddy, that is going to be something. Boston has won 7 of their last 10. They've lost 2 in a row. But again, tonight it's Boston and Philly. And it will be fun to see how this whole thing plays out. Boston 9-3 in the division, 25-10 in the conference. Bucks 10-1 in the division, 29-8 in the conference. The only team in the Eastern Conference with single digit losses in conference play.
That would give the opportunity for the Bucks to sit back, watch, and watch both of those teams just beat the hell out of each other, and then we'll get the victor.
Correct.
And you guys come here and make it a little bit easier on us.
It's a great advantage for the Bucks if it holds true.
No doubt it
is.
You know what's really easy? Going to shoptjc.com.
Shoptjc.com. Well, you can't go. Bad weather out. You go to shoptjc.com. And listen, guys, it's a live chat. And you can order just about anything you want to order from a live chat. You want to get down there. But Valentine's Day, I believe, is Thursday. Do women get guys something for Valentine's Day?
Sometimes.
I've never gotten anything.
Is it normally guys doing a giving? But... is that normally what it is?
Well, of presents, yes.
Stevie, is that?
Normally, it's that guys normally get girls for gifts.
That's how it goes.
Normally, that's how it goes.
I think that's how it goes. But girls, if you listen, flip the script. Flip the script this year. Go talk to my good friend at the Jewelry Center, Dean Murray. I'm speaking for the boys today. Go see my good friend Dean Murray. Don't be afraid. I mean, you guys go in a jewelry shop all the time. Shop for yourself. Go shop for your guy. If you don't want to do that, go to shoptjc.com live chat, and they can get you whatever you need on there. Or you can check them out at 76 and Layton Plaza in Brookfield, Blue Mile Road, and Tri-City National Bank Building right down the second floor. Also, they have a new location in Burlington, Wisconsin. I just want to tell you this, guys. Just want to tell you this. They may say they don't want anything. That's like the old banana in the tailpipe. Eddie Murphy said that. Don't go for that. They do. And they will love something from the Jewelry Center. And now, tis the season for engagement. So if you're looking for an engagement ring, and you may not want to pop the question now, you may want to get it, save some money. Right now is the time to do that. Go see my good friend Dean Murray at the Jewelry Center.
We're all in this together, right? Making sure the Bucks can get themselves to a championship. Can't let anybody stand in the way.
What are you playing?
Come on.
It's a Disney movie, Stevie.
You should love it.
Turn it up.
If you're the problem,
for our millennial listeners,
stay away from Fiserv Forum if you lose. They're losing games. But keep it right here. 105.7 FM, The Fan. So Kim and LaVoy, Judgment Day on The Fan. A little judgment mishap, maybe, for one former, soon-to-be former Pittsburgh Steeler, Antonio Brown, saying that he wants to be out. A major situation where somebody would need Kim and LaVoy. We'll talk about that a little bit later on when we get into the newest running back for the Cleveland Browns. But Gary Ellerson, Antonio Brown, today officially says that he wants to be out of Pittsburgh, something that was seemingly just a formality. At some point, he would finally voice that he wanted to officially be out. He took to Instagram today to say that it's time to move forward and onward, and everybody then understood that he meant away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. The 30-year-old wide receiver now has odds of where Antonio Brown will play football next year in week one. Would you be surprised if I told you the Green Bay Packers are not listed as one of the 8 teams in the field?
Yeah, I am surprised about that, no doubt about it. I thought this year the Green Bay Packers were at least being in on everybody, even Le'Veon Bell. I just think their name should be everywhere. And if you find a diamond in the rough, you find a diamond in the rough. Meaning that if you just kick over a stone, you never know. A guy may fall over and go, I'll take less to come to Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take less to play with Aaron Rodgers. I know what you guys got. I know what you guys are all about. I want to come help A-Rod win a championship. Yeah. I think it should be in on everybody. I am totally shocked that they're not. And now maybe they are, and maybe they're underneath the radar, I spy kind of a thing that we don't know. But I don't even know why you would make it public. Yeah, I just thought this was the year that they're kicking tires on everybody.
Because they obviously weren't afraid of the high price tag for Khalil Mack.
No, they weren't.
Right in the mix of those talks last year. They give $10 million to a 31-year-old tight end in Jimmy Graham.
But maybe, and I don't know, you know, being media guy right now, but maybe this tells you that all the things that they think the Green Bay Packers are staying for are all about, that maybe they don't want him there.
The 7 teams listed, the 2-1 odds-on favorite would be the San Francisco 49ers, coached by Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo out there, and it seemingly has been fit that he would go to San Francisco, especially after Jerry Rice talked about how great of a wide receiver Antonio Brown is, and told him to come on out there. 5-1, the New York Jets, Oakland Raiders with Mike Mayock, John Gruden in them at 6.5-1, Miami Dolphins at 10-1. I mean, why not? They're Miami. They might as well make a dumb move. Dallas Cowboys at 13-1. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, your boys, the Indianapolis Colts at 15-1.
They've got more money than anybody in the National Football League. They could sign Bell and Brown and still have money to go sign somebody else. They got like $130 million or something
and
like that.
And they don't have to worry about the quarterback trashing him on radio shows.
Well, and their quarterback's already paid all of his big money. So
he's got that contract.
They've got all that money already paid out. This isn't a rookie contract where Jared Goff is going to have to get paid at some point if you want. And that's a really interesting debate that they're having right now, whether or not they should extend him or let him play it out. But this thing here for Antonio Brown is different, I think, than Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell doesn't seem to be a locker room issue. Antonio Brown seems to be a locker room issue.
Right.
So is Ben. So let's get this straight. Like, they're both issues. But where I'm a little bit concerned about with Antonio Brown is his lack of wanting to practice. Wouldn't be the first time we found guys to play in Green Bay that didn't want to practice. Charles Woodson hated practice. Didn't want to do it. I'm not sure Brett Favre really liked to practice all that much either. But he did it. Maybe not every day. But he at least got a couple practices in. So we've had players here that didn't want to practice. In the situation you're in now, this first year, he's going to have to practice and practice at a high level with Aaron Rodgers. 2 years from now, when they both are on the same page, I don't care if you don't practice. Don't practice all week. Could care less, as long as you're producing at a high level. Is he a difference maker? Yes. Wherever he goes, he's going to be a difference maker. I don't think this is a situation where, well, Pittsburgh's offense made Antonio Brown look great. I think he really is this good of a football player and could be a difference maker for a team. What you don't want to have happen is you don't want to have him end up in Chicago, or you don't want to have him end up somewhere in the division or to a division rival or a conference rival that could hurt you. You don't want him in New Orleans. You don't want him with the Rams. You don't want another conference rival to get him, and you don't get him. So if you're the Packers, like Gary said, I think you got to call. I think you got to call Pittsburgh and be like, okay, so what do you want? Because Antonio Brown had a tweet, I think it was, earlier today, and everybody started thinking that Antonio Brown's getting cut because he's not getting traded, so they must be releasing him. And then what the hit was going to be, which was $21 million. And then Schefter immediately started making calls and said he's not being cut and he's not being traded as of right now, but Antonio Brown clearly wants out. So they're going to have to figure out what to do with him going forward, which I think we already knew. But he must have made it official, telling the Steelers, trade me.
Yeah.
I'm done here. So that was the news today. So now they've got to figure out what is the appropriate asking price for Antonio Brown and what can they get for Antonio Brown going forward.
What do you think is a realistic compensation for Antonio Brown?
Couple ones.
Couple?
I
for
bet
a 30-year-old wide receiver?
Man, I bet you they don't get it. But, yeah, couple ones. That's where I'd be if I was them. And let's see what the counters are. A one and two the next year or something. But I'm going to start at 2 ones. You don't like it, fine. Mm-hmm. Then give me an offer that you're willing to go with, and let's work from there. I bet you there will be a team that will match it, though. Because think about it. If you're, and I don't know the salary cap implications for every team. I don't have that in front of me. But let's say it's the New Orleans Saints. If I get Antonio Brown, I'm going to be in the NFC Championship game or Super Bowl year to year. You can have my ones at the end of the first round. I don't really care about them. Have at it. Don't care. The New England Patriots aren't going to care. Now, will Pittsburgh do business with New England? Don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they don't want to deal with New England because they don't want Antonio Brown in their face. That's why I think there's a good chance he's going to end up in the NFC because they don't want Antonio Brown having to deal with him in the playoffs. Because if you're Pittsburgh, you're still thinking to go to the playoffs, regardless if you have Antonio Brown or not. You don't want to deal with him in the playoffs, so trade him to the NFC.
3.5 to 1 now, right, still is the Pittsburgh Steelers, that he will still be with the Pittsburgh Steelers next year. And there is a possibility that the Rooney family just says, no, we have you under contract, and you're going to bring your blonde mustache here and get into camp and catch some passes from Ben Roethlisberger. Any other team in the field would be at 4 to 1 on the odds brought to you by bookmaker.eu. Gary?
Do the Packer fans want him here?
Most don't.
Most don't?
No.
Is that what you heard?
That's what I've been watching on social media since all this started with Antonio Brown. Nobody wants him in the locker room.
Nobody wants him. Packer fans don't want Antonio Brown.
It looks like. But
I mean, I would love to see him if we got up there for training camp and he was running around in 84
Gary,
jersey.
If it's Antonio Brown and Davante Adams?
Right.
Come on, man.
Talk about giving somebody your two first-round picks at the end of the first round.
Stealing.
But it's a young coach in LaFleur that's never been a head coach who already has to deal with one ego in 12, and now you're going to tell him, oh, here, and deal with 84 too and Antonio Brown?
But luckily, he has Aaron Rodgers, who is a Hall of Fame teammate.
You're being okay. That's funny. I'm just saying that LaFleur is going to be great before he's 40 if he's got to deal with Antonio Brown and 12.
For sure.
Well, the thing of it is, would you give up two first round picks? And that's probably what they're going to ask for Antonio Brown.
Because there's only two years left on the contract.
Yep. In a heartbeat. Because the thought is you're going to be in the NFC Championship game or Super Bowl if you have Rodgers, Brown, and Davante Adams.
I would say no to that. And here's why I would say no to that. Because I think the Packers are more than just him away.
Would you give the 12th this year?
I give up one.
You have the 12th or the 30th. Yeah, you got to give up the 12th.
Because he's better than anybody you can get at 12.
Okay. Would you give up the 12th pick?
No doubt about it.
Sparky?
Well, Sparky said give up 2 1s for him, so yes.
Yeah, but no. I said 2 1s, assuming you're going to be at the end of the first round every year.
Right, so, this is this year. You got to give me a first this year to get this guy on your football team.
So what I'm telling you is I'll give you 30 this year, and I'll give you my one next year. That's what I'll give you. Okay. I'm not giving him 12.
Okay. Brandon Cooks is a first-round pick, too.
You have to get an impact defensive player at that pick, regardless of what Leroy says about offensive linemen. I want somebody that can get after the quarterback at that pick at 12. That's what I want.
Antonio Brown will be better than anybody you can get at 12. Anybody. Offensive lineman, pass rusher.
Better than your boy Sweat from Mississippi State?
Yeah, that's my boy. He's better than anybody that you can get.
By the way, did you hear about Simmons at Mississippi State?
Yeah.
Yeah. Torn ACL, done. We were just talked about him yesterday when that's who he thought you were talking about to begin with, the defensive lineman. That sucks.
Yeah. Well, you need to start talking about him.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to now.
And my boy Sweat.
Okay, I'll get his name out of my mouth, too.
Out your mouth.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown, I just don't know if he stacks up with, I don't know, the antics are the right way to put
it. Look right now, projected
first
round.
There's just a different part of
Antonio
Brown.
Look at the top 15 players in the first round right now, if you can pull it up. Mm-hmm. And tell me he's not better than anybody. He may be the best player in the draft. Now, how old is he, 28?
30 years old.
He's 30. Oh, Jesus.
That's the magic
30 years old with 2 years left on that contract.
But he's going to want a new deal if you get him.
Yeah.
He's not going to play on this deal.
With not the stupidest amount of money either. I mean, he's making good money, but not out of this world money. I think it's 15, 16 a year. A wide receiver that's high. That's not that ridiculous. Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, edge rusher from Kentucky, Dwayne Haskins, who there's no way
Bosa's
that he's worth the third pick.
Bosa's got hurt written all over him.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Antonio Brown, average salary right now is $17 million. He got guaranteed money at signing in 2017.
Okay.
$19 million guaranteed money at signing. Okay, Gary?
Yeah.
The number one contract in the NFL right now is Odell Beckham, who signed last year, $90 million, $18 million average, so $1 million more than Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown got $19 million guaranteed at signing. Odell Beckham got $40.9 million guaranteed at signing. Hmm. Those are the type of numbers you're looking at for Antonio Brown. You're going to be 35 to 40 guaranteed money. Somewhere in that area. Mike Evans, 38 guaranteed at signing. DeAndre Hopkins, 36.5 guaranteed at signing. He wants Julio Jones, 35.5 guaranteed at signing.
But he's going to have to realize those dudes are younger than he is signing this deal.
Well, maybe.
A lot.
Demaryius Thomas is getting cut. And he had $35 million guaranteed at signing, and he's about to get cut.
And a torn Achilles, that's tough. I mean, you'd like to be able to take a flyer, but I don't know if you can take a flyer off a wide receiver coming straight off an Achilles tear like that. No chance.
No, I'm just talking about, you know, guys and the money they're making.
Right.
And now you look ahead to what it is. Antonio Brown's going to be somewhere between $35 and $40 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And then that average probably around 18 to 20 a year, something like that. And then he's probably going to want, what, 4 or 5 year deal? So now you're talking about 34, 35 years old wide receiver. I'm not a big fan of doing that. If he wants to go 3 years, tear up the contract and do a new 3 year deal, then I'll play ball.
Then we
can
talk. Yeah, but then we could have a conversation.
I'm not doing a contract that takes him to age 35, Gary. That I'm not doing. Yeah, if that's what he wants, we're out. And we don't know what he wants as far as a deal or if it's about the money or the length. But if it's about the money and we can go more short term, I'll do that. Sure. But 12, do you have the mock draft up yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so go ahead and tell Gary.
Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Rashawn Gary, Cleveland Farrell, Josh Jacobs, running back from Alabama, Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray.
Give me the schools these guys. Can you start off and give me the schools?
Yeah,
The name of school.
Nick Bosa from Ohio State.
Okay.
Josh Allen from
Kentucky.
Whose
mock draft is this?
This is, no, we don't want to use this one. That one's MJD. You don't want Maurice Jones-Drews. This guy is Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports. Nick Bosa from Ohio State. Edge rusher from Kentucky, Josh Allen. Dwayne Haskins, quarterback from Ohio State. There's no way he's worth the third pick in this draft. Mm-mm. Rashawn Gary, defensive lineman from Michigan. Quinnen Williams, defensive lineman from Alabama. Jonah Williams, offensive tackle from Alabama. Brian Burns, edge rusher from Florida State. Byron Murphy from Washington, a cornerback, long kid. Ed Oliver, defensive tackle.
So they got two tackles, they have two tackles up top already.
One
tackle from where? That's a kid from Alabama.
That's a kid from Alabama.
Okay, so just one tackle so far. Mm-hmm. Any guards in the top 10?
Nope.
Okay, go ahead.
One second offensive tackle comes in at 11. Jawan Taylor from Florida. They have Drew Locke going 10, a quarterback from Missouri to the Broncos. And then Cleveland Farrell, defensive end from Clemson, going to the Packers.
I don't see how he gets
this one from CBS. And how about this one? Number 13 of the Miami Dolphins, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, that's stupid, too.
How about that?
I wouldn't take him.
He's going to go in the first round.
Well, maybe I wouldn't take him. I think that's horrible.
Somebody's going to do that.
For sure. Yeah, 5-8,
apparently one team's
5-9.
Not going to, though.
Have at him. So you heard those players there at 12.
I wish I had some of these jobs these guys had.
But, Gary, if
I swear to God. If
you, it'd be so much fun.
Just let me screw up.
If you could take a pass, if you could take a pass rusher at 12, and I can get Antonio Brown for 30 in my one next year, don't you do that?
Yeah.
So you agree?
Yeah, if you can.
Because Gary doesn't like trading first-round picks if you're new to the, to the show.
If you can, yeah. I mean, but we just doing dream stuff right now. I mean, sure. I mean, if that's not what they want, I'm just saying if they don't want that, I give up a 12 for Antonio Brown. And I still got a 1 at 30.
Correct.
This one has the Steelers
he's
taking.
He's the best guy in the draft.
Wide receiver.
He ain't been hurt. He's just crazy.
No. DJ Metcalf. Did you see
I'm using the word crazy loosely.
Did you see that guy?
No.
Wide receiver from Ole Miss? You didn't see the picture on Twitter of that dude?
No. Is he ripped?
Oh, my goodness. It's like 6'6", like 250 pounds. He plays wide receiver. He runs like a 4'5".
That sounds like the kid from USC a long time ago,
stupid.
Mike Williams.
Just ginormous. I wouldn't want to block him at all. I can tell you that much right now.
He's a receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean block him?
He could line up a defensive tackle and I would be scared.
If you got the visor on, you're good because you won't even see him.
That's true. Yeah. No, I was too good. I was too good with the visor on. That's true.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.